This morning, I decided last week, I think in the opening of my sermon, I told you guys that I was ready for Christmas and New Year's to all be done, you know, that I had too much food and fun and family. By Sunday night, I had come down with a pretty good cold, and so I couldn't talk most of the week, and, you know, the good news is everybody else in my family, except for maybe one, got the flu. I didn't get the flu, so I was happy about that. I would rather have a cold any day, and So I'm not full voice yet, so if I croak at you a little bit, just pretend I'm passionate, and that's why it sounds funny. Will it stop me from talking?
No,
you are correct. All right, so for the next couple weeks, I'll do just a little, the next 2 weeks will be related. I'm going to call it true or false. True or false. So I thought we would open with a game. Who can be the ultimate true or false winner, all right? So I should have a prize. Do we have some kind of prize around here? We will give you, I think we have extra. Somewhere there's a, no, we are not handing out root beer. Good idea though. I think we have like an extra box of Kleenex. We'll get you an extra box of Kleenex or a Tic Tac or something like that. So, I mean, there's a lot at stake right here. So, I know you don't like this part. You're ready to just sit down and go to sleep. But if you would like to play the game, okay, it's not life-threatening. You're going to raise your hand, true or false, on questions, okay? And we're going to do kind of a last man standing. So, because it's called last man or woman standing, if you would like to play the game, why don't you stand up with me, all right? Okay, come on, this will not hurt you, all right? If you really want to sit down, go for it. You will not look foolish anywhere in there. If you don't know the answer, you're taking a 50-50 guess. How many of you like true or false questions on a test? It's particularly if you didn't know the topic, it's like, well, at least I got a 50-50 shot, right? All right, so here's how it goes. I'm going to ask a question. You're going to raise your hand. If you think it's true, then I will reveal the answer. If you were wrong, you'll sit down. And so with each question, I have 20 here, but I think I could probably get you in about 8, all right? So we'll see how far we get. Are you ready? Question number one. In outer space, you cannot cry. True or false? Raise your hand if you think that's true. All right, make a decision. True or false? I don't think it matters. Raise your hand if you think it's true. Okay. It is true. All right. So if you did not raise your hand, you have to sit down. That's how that works. All right. So we got a few left here. It was your tears would just like harden to your face, kind of thing. That would like instantly freeze. Yeah. All right, next question. Thomas Edison was afraid of the dark. He's the guy who created the light bulb. Raise your hand if you think it's true. It is true. So if you did not raise your hand, you have to sit down. All right, two questions and I'm down to 6 people already. Here we go. Okay, I can't count, it's like 8. But the letter T is the most common letter in the English language. Raise your hand if you think that's true. That one is false. It is the letter E. Yeah, you knew it had to be a vowel. It's like after I hear that, I'm like, oh yeah, I guess that makes sense, right? Yeah, all right. The strongest muscle in proportion to its size in the body is the tongue. That is true. All right, so you're all still in. All right, now they're holding strong here. These are the smart people in the church, so go ahead and get a look at them. Smart people are the ones that didn't play. A cockroach can live up to 9 days without its head before it starves to death. Raise your hand if you think that's true. That is true. A pregnant goldfish is called a twit. It's true. You're the only one standing. I didn't tell anybody, but the prize was a kiss. Did you know that? Did you know that? I'm sure glad she won. Cheer, Gary, over there. He said, I'm glad I lost. So. I feel like I have lipstick on my face. All right, true or false? I suppose I could throw quotes at you, like things like, what are these from? Can you figure this out? You know, we hold these truths to be self-evident. That is the Declaration of Independence. Yep, you all got that one. Good job. I always get this one wrong, but who said the whole I cannot tell a lie, but it was I who chopped down the cherry. George Washington. See, it messes me up because they call the other guy Honest Abe, you know, the down to 14 right there. Feels like that should be a quote from him. And that could be a myth. We don't actually know whether he said that or not. But you learn it in grade school anyway. That is there. I found a quote from Mark Twain that I thought was pretty good. It says, if you always tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. I thought that one was pretty good. You know, you don't have to remember who you told what. You just tell the truth again, and you're consistent, right? So that works out pretty good. And then, just for dramatic effect, there was a quote that went something like this: "You can't handle the truth." And anyway, that's from some movie somewhere, sometime. And who said that in that particular? Jack Nicholson. Okay, all right. Not important. Jack Nicholson, got it. All right. Here's the main idea. Let me throw a verse at you. John 18:38. This is Jesus standing before Pilate. And he asks that question, what is truth? What is truth? Pilate asked. With this, he went again to the Jews and said, I find no basis for a charge against him. I mean, it was almost like in a frustration, because you know Pilate didn't want to kill Jesus, and he's trying to get to the bottom of the matter. He's got all these charges coming against him and all of these things, and it's like he's almost throwing up his hands at that point. What is truth? And really, I mean, that's probably a great question that I think the world is asking. You know, what is truth? And I want to take some time this morning to get you to think about that and ultimately to really do your own heart search. Because in the end, here's one of my main idea sentences here. As Christians, you know, define that those who claim to be in Christ, of Christ, like Christ, from Christ, whatever preposition you want to use, we are in Christ, of Christ. As Christians, we need to have a commitment to the truth. Now, maybe that's the simplest statement I could make, but I want us to think about that as we come in into this new year, as we take an examination of our lives. Do we have a commitment to the truth? If I were to have a three-point sermon that had three words that start with the same letter, it would be this: we should learn, live, and lead the truth of God. We should learn, live, and lead the truth of God. Now, that's not my points, because I really just want to maybe look at some scriptures that kind of unpack what is truth. But that really could be just a statement of, as far as an application in our commitment to truth. What does that look like in your lives? I mean, I know I'm jumping already to application here, but a commitment to truth says, I want to know what the truth is. I want to learn what that truth is. And then I want to live that truth. I want to choose that truth in my life, in my actions, in my thoughts. And I want to lead to that truth. I want to lead others to know truth, to share truth. I want to lead my family and my friends and the strangers, that they also would know the truth. So to learn to live and to lead the truth of God. First of all, let's start with this question. Why truth? All right, I think I have three questions instead of words that start with the same letter. But let's start with this idea. Why truth? Why is this so important? And the song that we sang this morning, the change me on the inside and created me a clean heart, a lot of those words there, well, particularly created me a clean heart, come directly out of Psalms 51, which was the repentant psalm of David, that David had really blown it. He had committed adultery and murder, and he was bearing his heart before God in the midst of that. And Psalms 51 is really a great psalm that is there. In fact, many of those words that we sang in that change me on the inside really capture a lot of what I want you to hear today. You know, I long for freedom. You know, I want to live in the truth. The problem is, so often I only touch, you know, the visible me, and the real answer is I need to be changed in the inside. And so in that Psalms 51, let's look specifically at verse 6. Psalms 51, verse 6. Here's what David says. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. God desires truth in your inner parts. The very core of who you are, the heart of who you are. You know, the Bible uses that word heart, and we still use that today. Heart represents love. I love you with all my heart. We use that as far as what is really inside of us. Now, if you were here last week, you'll note that we kind of ended in a response to God and in communion for this new year. We said something like this, echoing the words of Jesus, Father, not my will, but your will be done. We made this kind of commitment that says we want what God wants. And here we read, God wants truth inside of us. Truth at the core of who we are. Now, some of you walked through our Wednesday night classes. We went through the Victory Over Darkness from Neil Anderson. And that combined with some other things, just for a moment, just bear with me a little bit. I'm not going to go teach the whole book to you or anything like that. But I want you to just have some understanding here. Here's a quote from Neil Anderson. He says this. He says, we don't always live what we confess, but we always live what we believe. So I'm going to put those words truth and belief together, that the very inside of us is what we believe. And here's David saying, I want to believe what you say, God, and who you are. I want truth in my inner parts. And so I want you to follow me for a second. This is maybe like kind of like a psychology of who we are, but more than that, I think it's how understanding how God has made us. That everything we do flows from what we believe. That's the essence of that quote right there. We live what we believe. We don't necessarily live what we say we believe. That's what we confess. And so follow me with a flow chart that on one end we have what we believe, and then the other end we have what we live, our behavior, our choices, our actions. I want you to put all those words kind of together there. All right? So we have what we believe on one side, and over here we have what we live, what we choose, what we do in our lives, okay? Now, in between is this mumble jumble area, and in the in-between area, we have thoughts and feelings. Now, here's what I want to challenge you with. So often in our lives, it's very easy to identify wrong living. You know, you sat there and you did your New Year's resolutions, whatever they may be, and you looked at your choices and your actions that you wanted to be different, right? And so we start dealing with things right here on this side, on this end. The problem is Nothing has changed in that direction. We still have the same thoughts and feelings. And I put those things there because those things are, you know, you can't really trust feelings. We learned in the Neil Anderson book that feelings are often an indicator of our beliefs. You know, we learned that our thoughts are really a battleground area on where what we're going to choose to believe. But see, you could spend a lot of time here in behavior and still end up with the same problems. And that's where a lot of addictions come from. That's where a lot of and cycles come from in our life. I mean, we try to relegate things to just addictions, but let's even face it. I mean, there's probably things and in your life that you have wanted to change that maybe don't fall into a AA category or anything like that, but they've been ongoing things in your life that I really would like to, you know, be more disciplined. I really would like to be a kinder person. I really would like to stop putting my foot in my mouth. You know, whatever that list might be, you know, maybe those things don't fall into you need to be institutionalized, but you know that God's calling you to more. Or you think the, you like the institutionalized word? Pastor Mike has a new referral system for 2017. I think it involves root beer, but I don't know. And so I want you to simply see this, that as much as New Year's resolutions are great and everything, I want you to look beyond that. I want you to look beyond the symptoms and the outcomes and the results. And even, you know, you could get down to a good psychotherapist and put you on the couch and they'll spend a lot of long time. Let's talk about your thoughts and your feelings and let's see if we can make some adjustments in those areas. And yet in the end, you have no real change until you address beliefs, until you address truth in your inner parts. And I tell you what, that's been kind of just like a light bulb for me, even as I look in my own life and wanting to grow, you know, and really coming up against those areas. It's like, what is it that I'm not believing right? Because that's where I need to change. Surely you desire truth in my inner parts. The psalmist says in Psalms 139, at the end of that, 23, 24, maybe you can kind of see this pattern that is there. Even just in these two verses, you can almost follow this flow chart, if you will. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." This is where he begins. God, test my heart, my belief, my what is in me, the very core of my being. And then he says, "Test me and know my anxious thoughts." I mean, those are thoughts and feelings right there. Anxiety, we would associate that with a feeling, definitely with thoughts that in the middle there. See if there's any, test me and know, are those things that line up with what I should believe? And then it follows all the way through. See if there be any offensive way in me. Way, that's my choice, my life, how I live, my action, what I do. And so it follows that same flow pattern. Search me and know my heart. See if there's any anxious thoughts, if there's any breakdown in this area. And I want my way to be surrendered to you so that it reflects you, God. Lead me in a way that is everlasting and in line with who you are. And so over these next couple weeks, I know this is a very cerebral kind of message, but I hope that the Holy Spirit would lead us in a way that would get us to look at our hearts. That we would have a commitment to truth in who we are. So hopefully I haven't lost you and you're not going to throw stuff at me. That's question number one, why truth? Why truth? And maybe I didn't answer that well enough for you. Let me come back to that. We ought to want what God wants for us. And God wants us to have truth in our inner parts. Surely you desire truth in our inner parts. That's what God wants for you. And that ought to be what you want for you, that we would have truth. Now, let's talk about the source and standard of truth. Because see, now we start talking about our culture and the world in which we live. The world is asking the Pilate question, what is truth? And so many end up shrugging their shoulders like Pilate. There's no way to know what that is. It's some kind of elusive concept that doesn't exist. What is the source and standard of truth? Now, I know I'm talking to people who showed up to church, so I know you understand beyond that understanding, but let's first of all talk about what the source and standard is not, okay? The source and standard of truth is not self. Now, that may be 50 years ago, that would have been self-explanatory, but there, I guarantee you there are people today who would be offended by that statement. They'd be offended by this idea. No, you make your own truth. That might be true for you, but that's not true for me. Have you ever heard somebody say that? These are very real thoughts of this world, beliefs of this world that are wrong. As much as I'm talking about truth, I'm talking about what's wrong. Next week, hopefully we can be more positive and we'll talk about false. We'll talk about the lies and maybe try to identify some of the, specifically, what are some of the lies that the enemy uses against believers to trip them up so that they're not living truth, that they're not believing truth. But self is not a reliable source or standard for truth. The Bible really has nothing good to say about self. And I don't have time to give you a whole theology, but all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not one is righteous. Our righteousness, what we think is right, is as filthy rags in the eyes of God. In the book of Judges, the very last verse of Judges, I'll put that one up for you. Judges, 21:25. This is a very picture of our world today. It says, in those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. Now, this is not a glowing review. This is after an entire book that is full of dysfunction and violence and people living in rebellion against God and everything going wrong. And unfortunately, we live in a world today that would exalt this idea. Do what you want. why truth? Truth is important. I didn't know if I was going to mention this or not. I've never watched this movie, but I've heard people talk about, I think there's a couple of them, but there's this idea of the purge. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, and I hope you've never watched anything like that because it just sounds awful. But the very concept of the movie is that there's going to be a day when there's no rules, and everybody can do what they want, and then everything goes wrong, and everybody kills everybody, and it's just as sick, as twisted as you can imagine. And I don't know why I would want to glorify that or bring attention to that, but that really is the truth, that if we are left to our own definition of truth, nothing good will come of that. There has to be a source and standard of truth. You know, what is that standard going to be? I mean, we talk about, you know, our laws, and we talk about moral code and all of those kind of things. Those are things that are established in truth and ought to be established in truth. And if we were to abandon those things, it's not going to be a pretty picture. You know, Jeremiah 17:9, talking about the heart of man. Maybe this summarizes some of those verses I was rattling off later. Here's what Jeremiah 17:9 says. This is what the Lord said to me. No, 17:9, I think. Did I write 19 on there? Anyway, it's the verse that says, the heart is deceitful above all things, for which there's no cure. That's what you is. That's what you are. When you talk about if you become the standard of truth. Now, I don't know, as we talk about leading people into truth, that becomes a tricky challenge. How do you get somebody to understand that you are not the definition of truth? I think it's very, I don't know, foolish, I don't have the right word, and presumptuous of humankind to think that we are the definers of truth. And yet somehow the lies of Satan have brought culture to that point. I mean, it's always been there. Like I said, it was right there in Judges. Everyone just did whatever they thought was right. So you are not the standard of truth. So far, the source and standard is what is not. So first of all, it's not you. Secondly, it's not culture. There would be this idea that the world we live in defines what is truth. Now, the problem with that is it's just a bunch of selves together trying to decide what that truth is. And so what that means to you and I is just because the world says that this is true, or this is okay, and this is not okay, the world can be wrong, because it is not the source and standard of truth. Now, I don't want to get real deep into this passage, but I do want to take you to Romans chapter 1. Because in there is one statement in particular, is this, these words that says they have traded the truth for a lie. I like how Paul talks about in general terms, they. He's talking about mankind. He's talking about those who live apart from God. There's always a they that exist. Not those that are in Christ, not Christians, not believers, but there is a they, there is a culture, there is a world, and the they of the world has traded the truth for a lie. They've chosen to call what was wrong right. And so I'm going to read you some of 118, and then I'm going to jump down to 25. 118, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Now, this is all the way back, what, I was going to say 2,000 years ago, but okay, we're going to say 1,960 years ago. Okay, that's probably closer. All right. You're okay if I round up to 2,000. So 2,000 years ago, that was the state of the world. And yet, that is true today. There's an enemy out there who is using culture and humankind to suppress truth. And it's leaking into the church. And it's leaking into you and I's heart and our way of thinking and our way of living. And we need to reveal those things and not suppress truth, but embrace truth. Learn, live, and lead to the truth that is God's word. All right, let me just read the section here, 25 through the end of the chapter, I think 32. It says, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, He gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree and that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. It's really a statement of our world today, and I'm not trying to, unfortunately, a lot of people get into this passage, this is Romans 1. They get in this passage, and yes, homosexuality is part of the wording there, but I hope you followed it all the way through the end. Disobey your parents is on the same list, right? It talks about our murder, and it talks about our anger. It's talking about that slippery slope that is, apart from truth, left to let culture define. We trade the truth for the lie, and we do what's wrong. We practice what's wrong. We invent ways of doing wrong. We not only do it, but we approve of those who do it. And I don't like to single out homosexuality. I believe it's a sin. It's right there in the Word of God. But we have a culture today that says we're defining what truth is. And they're forcing what they believe. And yet it's not truth. Just because it's the result of a lie that is believed. But that goes into all sexual sin. Any sex apart from marriage is defined as sin. And yet we find coming into the church, you know, we're going to take a cultural idea. Marriage is not real. And marriage, you know, is not... You know, that's a archaic way of thinking, and it's not practical, and that's not what the Word of God really says, and that's not what it, and that is thoughts. I mean, we see the church under attack when it comes to homosexuality. I think it's just as dangerous as we see the attack on marriage and what is happening in the way we approach marriage within the church. See, we are called to truth. Culture does not define that truth. The they is the culture. And that was 2,000 years ago, and it is so true today. That we're just, the culture is just thinking of new ways to do evil and new ways to promote evil as the new good. Culture doesn't define truth. And thirdly, what is not? So it's not self, it's not culture. And maybe related to that, it's not the majority. So, you know, culture, maybe we would say, you know, well, that's whatever the judges say. That's whatever, you know, the experts say. I don't know who the cultural people are that are out there. But maybe related to that, it's not what the majority says. Philippians chapter 3 maybe is an example of that. Paul says this of the world, of the culture, of the they of that day. For as I've often told you, this is Philippians 3:18. For as often as I told you before, and now say even with tears, many, okay, so I'm talking about the majority, the many, many are living as enemies of the cross of Christ. Verse 19. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. See, I always love that phrase. Their God is their bellies. I mean, that their appetites become their truth. And that's the problem when you become the definition of truth. It's what you want. You are selfish by nature. And you'll just go with what you want. And when you do, how many know if the whole world acts selfish, a whole lot of people get hurt in the process. Nothing good comes of that. And so their destiny is destruction. These are some things that are not so good. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. You see, the many, the majority does not define truth. Here's what Jesus, well, here's in contrast. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're not the many. We're the minority. We're not of here. We're of him. Jesus says this in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, talking about the majority versus the minority. He says this, Matthew 7 and something, 19, 18, pick a number. You have that one? Go ahead. 7:13. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Now, I know you've heard that verse quoted, but I want you to picture that. It says the majority got it wrong. The majority are going the wrong direction. But few, is the next verse, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And the question is, what about you? What is your commitment to truth? All right, I'm getting close on time, so I'm going to go real fast here in the end. But that what is what truth is not. Here's what truth is. John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Who is the truth? Jesus is the truth. And if I can highlight one word out of that great scripture, do you know what word I'm going to highlight? The word I'm going to highlight is the. He's the truth. Not a truth. Not of truth. He is the truth. There is everything about John 14, 6 is politically incorrect. Because it says that Jesus is the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the except through me. Oh, it's politically correct. You've just denounced every religion of the world, which is politically incorrect, right? Oh, we're all making our own truth. All roads lead to the same place. No, they don't. Most are going the wrong way. And only a few have found the truth that is Jesus Christ. Now, his is a message of love. His is a message and an offering of life and forgiveness. And we ought to learn that, and we ought to live that, and we ought to lead that. That he is the truth. God's word, John 17, verse 17. God's word, what God says is truth. Very simple phrase Jesus just said. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Everything that God has said is true. There is a standard. There is a measure of what you can know is true. And it is Jesus, God's word. And guess what? Here's the good news. You can know the truth. God gave us his Holy Spirit. Here's what Jesus taught in John 16, 13. And the Holy Spirit there is called the Spirit of Truth. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. So you can know truth today. As much as Pilate wants to shrug his shoulders and say, what is truth? We can never know what that is. It's just some kind of ambivalent question mark that exists out there. That is not the teaching of Scripture. That is not the teaching of God's Word, where Jesus says, I am the truth. But God's Word is truth. And the Spirit of Truth can guide you in that truth. Truth is made available and has been revealed to you and I. And the question is, do you desire truth in your inner parts? Final question is, what is the power of truth? That song, Change Me on the Inside, it is the power to change. It is the power to, as much as Jeremiah 17, 9 says that the heart is deceitful above all things, for it, there is no cure. God's truth, that is Jesus Christ, God's salvation and God's love, became the healing and became the source that we might be changed. Here's what Jesus says in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you really might say, if you listen to what I'm telling you, if you listen to who I am and what I've said, you're my disciples, and here's the result. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I know you've heard that verse, but I was building up there. I'm making a case. And so here's the punchline. The truth will set you free. If you've got things in your life, this part where you're living and you're choosing and you're doing and the action of your life that are not lining up with God's word, the good news for you today is that God has revealed truth and says that you can know that truth. If you will listen to his word today, if you will receive him, if you will identify him as the truth, that truth will set you free from everything that's got you bound up, everything that's got you hindered. The truth will set you free. He says a little bit later in that. What verse is that? Do you have that one, Ben? Verse 36. So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Yeah. I am free to run. But as you look in your lives, it begins not with managing the symptoms, not with managing the actions. It begins with looking at the truth and aligning your heart and your life with truth. Now, if I were a fire and brimstone preacher, I'm being pretty nice, really, even though it's a hard subject, but if I were, let me put on a different face today and pretend to be someone I really am not. Here's a quote from William Shakespeare in The Merchant of Venice. He says, "In the end, the truth will out. In the end, the truth will out." See, in the end, in the final judgment and the final assessment of our lives, the truth by which you will be judged is not going to be your truth. It's not going to be cultural truth. It's going to be the truth. And that ought to scare us a little bit. You're not judged by what you know. You're not judged by what you think. You're judged by what is the truth. I mean, if there's, like I said, this is the fire brimstone direction that ought to compel us. I ought to have a commitment to that truth, because in the end, that is the truth by which I will be measured. In the end, the truth will out. I like that. Or, you know, we say the truth will find you out. Oh, I was like, I knew I had one more point on there. You want to know what my last point was? Liar, liar, pants on fire. That's hellfire and brimstone for you right there. The devil is a liar, and if we are not measuring our lives to his truth, pants on fire, there you go. Here's how I'll end. I want to just challenge you to a commitment to truth. As much as Jack Nicholson says, you can't handle the truth, the question is this: can you handle the truth? Will you handle the truth? I know I'm throwing out cliches all day here, but I know the truth hurts. And the truth is hard. But can you handle the truth, and will you handle the truth? Will you have a commitment to truth? I don't know. I think I have a couple of other good questions here. The truth hurts, but do you want what God wants? Surely you desire truth in my inner parts. Are you willing to listen and learn the truth that God wants to reveal in your heart and life? Let's learn, live, lead the truth, and nothing but the truth. So, bow your heads, close your eyes. No, don't bow your heads, close your eyes. We're just going to do a stand up and end and pray. How many of you, by standing, which means I will let you out of here, so that's good. I'm bribing you at this point. But I want to know, who wants to make a fresh commitment to truth? How many of you would be brave enough, will you handle the truth, brave enough to put your life next to God's word and say, all right, show me, Lord. I mean, that's dangerous. That's hard. And yet that's what we're called to. Who here would dare ask God to search my heart? See if there's anything wrong with what I believe. If you want a commitment to truth, I just want you to stand up and I'm going to pray for you. Lord, we come to you this morning, and Lord, the devil is a liar. He's really good at it, but he's defeated. And Lord, I pray that he would be defeated in every one of our hearts and our minds and our lives. The lies would be exposed, and Lord, that we would embrace and chase the truth. Jesus, the truth. Your word, the truth. That by your Spirit we would hear and we would listen and we would know that truth. And in your truth that we would find freedom. Lord, I pray for those today that are bound up in their thoughts, that are bound up in their emotions, that are bound up in the action of their lives. God, the answer today is your truth. Pray that your truth would set us free. So, Lord, we make a commitment to the truth and nothing but the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.